When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on The Fan. On the line right now is the host of You Better, You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the You Better, You Bet podcast for more of Nick Costos' analysis. Just search You Bet wherever you find your podcast. Nick, it's almost depressing in a way that we've got one football game left for the year. Is there a little bit of a letdown from you after champion? Like me personally, there is after Championship Sunday. You feel a letdown knowing that we got one more game left and it's not even this weekend?
Yeah, I would say, and always great to be on with you guys. It's like the yin and yang, and I'll answer the question like selfishly because I'm the one that's answering the question. I'll answer it personally. Football's my favorite sport. It's been my favorite thing since I was a little kid. I absolutely love it. I like it more than all the other sports combined. Also, it's by far my busiest time of year. I basically work like, it's not a complaint, like I love my job. I work like 6.5 days a week during football season. So, you know, once the Super Bowl's over, my life gets a lot easier. So I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, I would say once we're through the NCAA tournament in March and April rolls around, I'm probably going to be yearning for like a crappy Thursday night football game to bet on and play fantasy football and DFS for. So the itch will probably start for me in April. But yeah, I can't say I'm terribly happy to see it go because I get some of my personal life back.
You see, I'm ready for it to go. And that doesn't mean I can't wait for the Super Bowl. It doesn't mean I don't love football. You know, I'm sure you guys have been asked this question as well, just, you know, whether it's somebody writing an article or an interview, whatever, about your career. Hey, what's your favorite sport to talk about and to cover? And one of the things, and my stock answer, and I mean this for about the last 10 years or so, has been whatever season it is. It's almost like this internal quarterback clock where as I get to the end of football season, I'm truly ready for it to end. I want more. I want the Big East tournament. I want March Madness. I want spring training. I want the Masters in April down at Augusta. Like, to me, I'm ready seamlessly. Let's go. Let's play the Super Bowl. Football's over till the draft. That's it.
And tough to disagree with that, BT. And just like from my perspective, like talking about sports betting every day, hours a day, right? February is kind of I actually think a pretty underrated like sports month. And everyone's obviously coming off the Super Bowl and nothing crazy is happening. There's no playoffs going on. The NCAA tournament's still a month away. But you've got a million NBA games once you get through the All-Star break, a million NHL games. College basketball starts to become like more into focus, obviously, as we head towards conference tournaments and the NCAA tournament. In March, you get the NCAA tournament. In April, you get the NFL draft and the start of the NHL and the NBA playoffs, and baseball starts. So yeah, like I agree with you. There's a lot of exciting things coming up in sports, but like I would be lying, just me personally. Like September to February for me is the absolute best. I really like everything else, not the way I love the National Football League and covering the NFL.
Yeah, I'm with you. We're talking with Nick Costos, of course, host of You Better, You Bet, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Same thing for me. I love the baseball season. I love the different sports throughout the year. But once September starts, you got football, you got baseball playoffs. That's as good as it gets. And for me now, in February, like, this is it. After Championship Sunday, you got 2 weeks of inactivity before one glorified exhibition game that means the world. And then after that, nothing for a while. So it is a little bit sad at the very least. All right, before we look ahead and talk about some of the coaching changes, Nick, let's just recap what happened on Championship Sunday. I didn't have a big problem with Dan Campbell going for it the second time. I did have a problem not kicking the field goal or trying to kick the field goal to go up 17. I know you have some strong thoughts about the way Dan Campbell coached that game on Sunday.
Yeah, I thought he absolutely did the right thing. In fact, I think he didn't take it far enough. I would have gone for the touchdown at the end of the first half when he kicked the field goal to go up 17. And that one's like a little debatable, I think. And look, like he was not without his faults in the game. Like the run on third and goal at the end and having to burn the timeout was inexcusable. Like that's
just stupid.
Like, honestly, like, that's like a Joe Judge would have done that. Like, Freddie Kitt, like, Rich Kotite would have done that. Like, that is as bad as it gets. It's a 0 out of 10. But, like, it's like the take the points crowd out there that's like, oh, well, just take, because it's what Bill Parcells would have done. Well, Tom Landry would have sent out the field goal unit. Like, guys, it's 2024 now. Like, it's okay to evolve. And this idea that, oh, yeah, just take the points. I said this on my show this week. It's like there's an app on your phone, the Take the Points app. And when you're a head coach and it's 4th and 2 at the 31, you actually, guys, I don't know if you know this, you actually don't have to send the field goal unit out. There's no snap. There's no kick. It doesn't have to get blocked. It doesn't have to miss. You click the button on the Take the Points app, and you just get 3 points. You get the points. You just get them. You don't actually have to kick. You get the points. Or, and hear me out, the kicker could miss. And the Lions kicker, Michael Badgley, the money badger, as he calls himself, he's terrible. The Lions know he's terrible. And we can have a conversation. Why is he on the team? Why is Brett Maher kicking for the Rams? Why is the lesser Carlson brother, Anders Carlson, kicking for the Packers? Maybe it's a place kicking issue. That I don't know. But what I do know is this. If you're really, for all the fools out there that are like, oh my God, how could, what am I going to say to my little son that Dan Campbell went for it on 4th down? Really? You want Michael frickin' Badgley deciding whether or not you go to the Super Bowl. And by the way, on that first 4th down play, the 4th and 2, Josh Reynolds has the ball in his hands and he drops it. I bet you if they convert, no one's saying boo about anything.
Yeah. I'm with you, by the way. That's the first thing that I said the next day after the game. They had an interception. They dropped it. They had a chance to down San Francisco with the one on a touchback. They got sloppy with their footwork. Boom. It's a touchback instead of at the one. I wonder, though, Nick, if the pushback, because it was loud, was almost amplified because it's the Lions, synonymous with a losing franchise. Like, that's one of the most gut-wrenching losses, certainly of our lifetime. Do you think that the fact that it was Detroit, who's been quiet since 1957, had anything to do with it?
I would say no, only because, and look, like both are bet, like games that I've lost money on. The NFC Championship game 10 years ago with the Packers and the Seahawks, Green Bay a 7-point dog in that game. I think we talked about this game when I was in studio with you guys a couple weeks ago. That's the Brandon Bostic game when Green Bay absolutely like urinated down its leg and lost that game to Seattle. Like, the Packers got criticized that entire offseason. So, like, maybe because it's Detroit a little bit. I'll say this, like the whole like Lions or losers narratives. Like, really? You think that's a loser team? The offensive coordinator's coming back. Like, they're in a division that they will be the favorite in next year with Green Bay on the come, obviously, but Detroit's better than Green Bay. I think Detroit could easily be back there next season. And, you know, we talked about this, guys, like a month ago, right? Or around then. Would you fire Brian Daboll to hire Bill Belichick? And my answer was no, and I laid out a bunch of reasons why. If you asked me, would you fire Brian Daboll right now and I get Dan Campbell? I'm like knocking over women and children to like push the button to say yes to get Dan Campbell in. I think he might be the best coach in the league.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
I absolutely love it. I love the aggression on fourth down. That's what you should want. People should want that. Not like to be sexually aroused by sending like the field goal. Like, grow up.
Don't you think though, Nick, and I would have hit the take the points button, and it does get me aroused thinking about it, taking the points. We're talking about Nick Costos.
You just get them, by the way.
Yeah,
you don't have to kick. You just get the points.
I understand that, but don't you think that certain game situations, like I admit that I'm mostly conservative. However, I have evolved and understand the aggression in certain spots. Don't you, and I'll give you an example. I don't know if we talked about this, I forget, but in the Buffalo game where they relied on Bass to tie the game, I thought that was actually idiotic by McDermott because you're thinking about who's on the other bench. Like, if you go for it, I know it was fourth and eight.
I think you got that one. I do think you have to kick that. Right. Like, I think, but to your point, even if Bass makes that kick, Mahomes has a minute 40 and two timeouts.
That's exactly right. So I'm thinking, I can't beat this team. I have an opportunity to go for the throw. I know it's fourth and eight, but am I going down with Josh Allen and my offense or taking the chance that the best case scenario, this Nimrod kicker actually makes this kick and I still give it over to Patrick Mahomes with a minute 40. So I know that's extreme, but I'm just showing you that I'm open to the thought process of going for it. I thought McDermott made a mistake. However, with Campbell, you're up two scores. I get that going for fourth and two, you're trying to put the foot on the throat further. However, if you take the safer of the two options potentially, and I know that things could go wrong, but let's say you do make the field goal, which, you know, has a decent percentage as well, you're going up three scores. Like, the situation there, not just the fourth and two and the aggressive nature, you're up already two touchdowns. If you tack on those three, you're up three scores. That's a huge difference.
Yeah, the way I look at it is Detroit, and I will bring a betting market into the conversation here, and people can scoff at this. And another way to think of it would be, ask yourself this question. Which team's better, the Niners or the Lions? Like, obviously, San Francisco's better. So Detroit is a 7.5-point underdog in the game, and they're on the road. I think in situations like that, when you are a big underdog, you're on the road, I think, like, you have to go for the jugular. I had no issue with it. And the thing with going for it, so let's say Reynolds catches that pass, right? Now, like, one, and he should have, by the way, because the ball's in his hands. Like, one of three things happen. Either the Lions, like, but or one definitely does. A, you take more time off the clock. B, maybe you score a touchdown, and, like, the game's probably over at that point. And C, if you have to kick a field goal, now you're closer and you feel better about it. So, like, I get it, the whole idea to send him out, like, make it a three-score game. I will always kind of err on the side of aggression. And, like, that offense has been nails all season. It's not fourth and 11. Like, it was a fourth and two. Like, they should have had the first down. The receiver had the ball in his hands. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, this is it's a moot point. I kind of think that we all collectively need to, like, get past, well, like, what would Chuck Knoll have done?
It's a while ago. Talking to Nick Costos, BT and Sal on the Fan. So obviously a lot of the energy with Campbell's decisions. How surprised are you? And I don't mean, you know, since the season ended, but now that the coaching cycle is over, that McCarthy has a job, Sirianni has a job, and Vrabel does not.
Yeah, so I'm surprised a little bit, but I think the reason makes if you think about, like, why he doesn't have a job, it starts to make sense. And the reason is that he doesn't play nice in the sandbox. Like, Brian Callahan, who is named the coach of the Titans, right? But Bill Callahan's son, the former Raiders coach. When he had his introductory press conference, Titans GM Rand Carthon, by the way, son of Maurice Carthon, former Giants great.
Oh, wow.
Who dropped the pass in the 1990, touchdown pass back, in the 1990 NFC Championship game in San Francisco. I thought my dad and grandfather were both going to
have it. Wait, was that the game? That was the game. No, that wasn't the game Roger Craig fumbled.
That
was
is
it?
The game.
It
Roger
is the game.
Craig
okay,
fumbled.
Gotcha. Keep going.
That is the game that Roger Craig fumbled. So Rand Carthon says in the post game press conference, not the post game, the introductory press conference, and I don't know if I'm going to get it exactly right, but something to the extent of, there's a big difference, like, hunting next to someone and hunting with someone. The point being that Mike Vrabel did his own thing and, like, alienated basically everyone in the organization, and now there's going to be, like, a lot of collaboration with Brian. I'm not saying Brian Callahan's going to succeed.
Yeah.
Just saying, like, I think that quote and everything you read, and where there's smoke, there's fire, is that Mike Vrabel turns a lot of people off with his abrasive personality, and he's a control freak. Now, I think he's a badass coach. Like, next cycle, like, he can, like, probably tell owners, you know, I've learned from my mistakes. I think he'll probably get a another job at some point. But I think, like, that's the answer to the question. Like, why didn't Mike Vrabel get a job this
year? I don't know. If it was Brian, I think this Callahan guy's got a better chance getting the auto parts, the brake pads back than being a better coach than Vrabel. Vrabel's fantastic.
I think Vrabel's a great
coach. Fantastic.
So I'll say this about Vrabel. Let's see what Ryan Day does this year at Ohio State. I know it's not like a college football thing. Vrabel, I think Mike Vrabel might be the next head coach of Ohio State when it's all said and done.
Wow, interesting.
What about Dan Quinn, Nick? He is the new head coach of the Commanders. I think it's a good thing for the New York Giants and anybody else in the NFC East. You know where I stand on Quinn. What do you think is him as a head coach the second go-around?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, let's see who his offensive coordinator is. I think, like, if you're, this is not obviously like a Commanders or Redskins, whatever. It's not like a Commanders audience here. I think it's really uninspired. I think it's a really tough sell. You go from, like, an older retread defensive coach to another older retread defensive coach. Doesn't mean he can't succeed. I mean, Rivera went to a Super Bowl with Carolina and then did nothing in Washington. You know, Quinn went to a Super Bowl with Atlanta. Like, let's see how he does. It feels to me like they had all their eggs in the Ben Johnson basket, the offensive coordinator for Detroit. And, like, something's going to come out. That story does not add up. Makes no sense where everyone I talk to, people that are usually right, everyone was saying, like, it was an open secret for weeks that Ben Johnson was going to be the head coach of the Commanders, and then he's not. So it feels to me pretty clearly like Dan Quinn was the, oh bleep, like, we just lost our plan A, now he's the plan B. Doesn't mean he can't succeed, but I mean, yeah, if you're a Giants fan, I think you got to feel pretty good about that hire for Washington.
Well, real quick, what do you think it was? Money with Ben Johnson?
You know, I guess, like, money is usually the answer to that question. So yeah, I don't know, kind of.
They made it like he's a hero now. Oh, I'm staying in Detroit. I got unfinished business. Bullcrap. If you were offered enough money to be a head coach, I mean, you're taking it. So something was off.
Could have been a power thing.
Yeah, and they have the second pick in the draft, so he'll get, like, a quarterback, like, to build around. Yeah. And remember, like, last year he could have gotten a job also. So it's 2 years now that he's kind of kicked the can down the road. I kind of, something's up, and I don't know what it is.
Next coach of the Jets.
It's possible.
Next coach of the Jets.
Ben Johnson.
Let's go.
Let's see. Well, we've got to see what your GM wants to do. Aaron Rodgers. Does Rodgers
That's true. We will confer with the boss, and we'll get back to you on that.
Thank you, Nick. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Good job, buddy.
Minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck. I'll talk to you next week from Vegas, guys.
Looking forward to it. There you have it. The host of You Better, You Bet, and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app.